Holder for his service and dedication on the Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau from November 18th to October 29th. Is Felice here? She is not here. We'll get hand that over to the clerk, please, for arrange for her to get that. The certificate of service, the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, presents this to Kevin Skeet for his service and dedication on the Economic Development Committee. That was March 2017 to October 2019. It doesn't look like Kevin is here either. And Kate Hine, the certificate of service for her dedication and service to the Economic Development Committee, March 2019 to October 2019. And I don't see her here either. So we'll please get those all to her. We appreciate everything that they did for the community and helping out on those boards. Lisa, I'm going to ask you now at this point to please do an introduction of our police chief candidates.
Well, I actually am going to ask them to introduce themselves, but I want to first say we have had three fine gentlemen here in town as candidates for the position of police chief, along with their spouses, and I just want to thank all six of them for making the trip from out of state. They come from California, Colorado, and Minnesota, and we have thoroughly enjoyed hosting all of them in our community the last 3 days. And I can't imagine a finer group of people from whom we have to choose a new chief. And I'd like them to stand up, and if you don't mind, come to the lectern and just introduce yourself and say who you are and where you're from, and introduce your wife as well. That would be great. And Thomas, do you want to start?
Sure. Thomas Radke, Minnesota. My wife, Candy.
Thanks, Thomas. Thomas keeps it pretty straightforward.
Done with the interview.
Yeah, you're done, man.
What part of Minnesota, real quick?
Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Oh, I grew up in North Branch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Quit trying to get an in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I will be just as brief. I'm Derek Boss from Colorado. My wife, Anna.
Thanks very much. We're making you walk all the way up here because we've got to have the microphone.
I'm Eric Hurtado from Central California, and my wife, Amy.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Again, I can't stress enough how thankful we are to have these three outstanding folks here in town interested in taking the position of police chief, and we've sort of put them through the ringer in group panel interviews and community reception and meeting with the department staff, and today they actually had to do written and oral presentations. They had to produce a written response to a scenario and then do oral presentations, and so I just, it's a lot to go through, and so my hat's off to all three of you. Thank you so very much for your consideration.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming.
I just want to say, Lieutenant Smith mentioned to Lisa today that his regret is we don't have a job for all of you, so that's pretty high praise.
He said that at our lunch.
At the lunch, and I think that's fantastic. So thank you very much, all of you.
And you're welcome to stay for the entire meeting.
Yeah.
Also welcome to have the evening off.
It'll pick up in a minute, believe me. can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Assemblymember Gilbert?
Here.
Morrison?
Here.
DeLong?
Here.
Decker? Powell?
Here.
Larrabee?
Here.
Mayor Pozanka?
Here. And persons to be heard, could you grab that sheet, please, Lisa?
Yes.
Great, thank you. Okay, we have one person, Esther Ashton, with the Tribal Association. Esther, come on up. Nice to see you again.
Good to see you again. Good evening, everyone. Esther Ashton, 717 Stickeen Circle. I'm here this evening to just give you an update on what WCA has been doing in the past few months, some awesome funding sources that we've gotten in that we were able to pass through to some city entities, and also some other general funding. So I think everyone knows me, but I'm honored to serve as the tribal administrator for our local tribe, the Wrangell Cooperative Association. We serve the 740 tribal members here in Wrangell with our transportation department, our environmental department, our new fisheries department that we're putting together. So lots of good things happening. But wanted to update you on some of the pass-through grants that we were able to receive that directly impact city departments. On an annual basis or semi-annual basis, we are able to apply for funding that is only available for local tribal governments, and they're funding sources that are able to benefit the entire community. So the one that we just received notification that was approved was a $10,000 grant for the Irene Ingle Public Library. That is something that we do in partnership with Margaret and her wonderful staff. They put together the grant application on what exactly the library needs. We go ahead and apply for the funding. And so this year, $8,200 will go to digitize 18,500 articles from the Wrangell Sentinel. And the rest of the funding will go to, it is called the Alaska Digital Library Service, which allows you to access titles through mobile devices and through the computer. So that will pay for this year's subscription. So very excited to receive that. And then one that we do actually every 3 years goes to Catholic Community Services. And the Senior Center obviously is just so important to our community. So this year's funding will be $113,000 that comes through WCA and passes through to Catholic Community Services to help maintain the Wrangell Senior Center. And our board just approved the next three-year application grant, so I will keep you all updated on the status of that, but definitely something that we feel really happy to be able to help them continue to maintain their services. One interesting funding source that we got that I wanted to tell you all about was through Search. For the last 2 years, they decided that they wanted to promote health within the communities that they have their presence, and so they actually gave funding to the local tribes for the local tribes to, on the ground, look at what they thought would help improve health within the communities. So for the last 2 years, we've received funding from Search. All of the tribes do it differently with the funding they receive. They have different ideas on how they want to promote health within the community. What WCA did this year was we put out sort of an application period or a suggestion period where people could come and either apply on behalf of their organization or tell us how they would like to see the funds expended. So we just recently had a ceremony and passed out the funds. So just very briefly, we were able to give $500 to the SAR Dogs for a canine training event. We gave $500 to the fire department for a CPR doll to aid in CPR training. Parks and Rec got $1,000, and that's to help diversify the aquatics program. We gave $1,000 to the Senior Center, and that's to provide meal tickets, ride tickets, and they're going to start a yoga class there. The sports teams are obviously near and dear to all of our hearts, very important to our children and youth. So $3,000 went to the sports teams, $500 apiece to multiple sports teams in town. The Mariners Memorial, $1,000, is going to the Memorial Pavilion, and that funding is going to be matched, so it will actually be $2,000 for that pavilion. Community Roots, $500 for a roundtable discussing LGBTQ issues. And then the Queer Straight Alliance got $100 to help start that that club at the high school, which will be open to high school students and also homeschool students. The library requested $500 for additional purchase of books, which we were able to give to them, and their books specifically on issues of health. Bearfest, $1,000 for the marathon. KSTK, $500. We know funding is tight there. And then the Eats Garden, $1,000 for our elementary school kids to continue the growth in their hydroponics at their Eats Garden. So those were the funded applications that went through our board. I know you all have on your agenda tonight an MOU that Lisa put together. It was based on the MOU that we previously had with the city. It was expiring this month. So we really appreciate Lisa taking a look at that previous MOU, making some wonderful adjustments. It went to our board last week. The board approved it with just minor adjustments. So that's something that you'll see in front of you tonight. So that MOU, we're hoping, will help build a partnership under which the tribe and the city can continue to grow a collaborative relationship where we can work with you all on things such as how the tribe works with, like, the Forest Service, where we were able to go and we replaced 350 culverts out on their roads. We do their trail maintenance work for them every summer. So we're working towards the tribe being able to work with the city in a similar way to the way the tribe works with the Forest Service. So this MOU that you have for you will sort of help us in the beginning stages of that. So that's all I have. Just wanted to update you on those few things and appreciate your time.
Well, hold up a second.
Okay.
Any questions from the board on any of that? That was an excellent update. Run away. I want to comment on how much at the fire department we appreciate the support that the tribe, but overall, you guys are just knocking it out of the park, and we just really appreciate tribal government and all that you're doing for the community, for everybody. And I know, you know, it's huge. It mm-hmm. just really makes a difference to the quality of life here, Esther. So your leadership has been fantastic, and we really appreciate it. So thank you, and I'm looking forward to visiting the MOU. Lisa.
Mr. Mayor and Assembly, Esther will be joining us also. She received a scholarship from the Alaska Municipal Management Association to be the first tribal government liaison to come to the Municipal Managers Association at AML this year. So she will be there, and we're very excited about that.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm very excited about the increased partnerships mm-hmm. and the MOU and the things that we can do collectively together. So thank you, Esther.
Yes, and thank you all. We really appreciate the collaboration and just the continued growth.
And the reports to the Assembly, because it goes out to the public, that's very beneficial. I would hope that, like the Forest Service, we get one a month, perhaps.
I can do that. Okay. Would a written report be helpful? Is showing up at the meetings helpful?
Whatever works for you, Esther. But okay. If you want to do a written, or you do such a great job presenting too. So if you want to come down and present to us, feel free. But I really think it's important the community hears everything the tribe is doing for this community. So thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you all.
Thanks, Esther.
Thank you.
And Natalia, thank you for coming down and sitting through the whole chunk of the start of the meeting. Sure, it's exactly what you wanted to be doing tonight. Okay, is there no other persons to be heard? No, I'll pass that back to you, Alicia. Thank you. Go ahead, folks, we'll give you a second.
Thank you all again very much.
Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you.
See you later. You all failed because you left the meeting. Trick question, you blew it.
Bye, Caleb.
We know you have to be here, Caleb. Okay, so is there any amendments to the agenda? Patty.
I move to change the agenda by moving item 13F to the first item under new business.
The 13F is the approval of the memorandum of understanding with the U.S. Forest Service of site preparation, temporary shelter, preserve, and interpret the MV2 dash. That would be moved up to A. Is there anybody dissent on that? Hearing none, that will be our new A. Is there any other amendments to the agenda? Okay. Conflicts of interest. Is there any conflicts of interest? All right. Hearing none. Consent agenda.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
It's been moved. We have a second.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymember Powell.
Yes.
Larrabee.
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
DeLong?
Yes.
Mayor Pruszynka?
Yes. Item number 7, Borough Manager's Report. Lisa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have a lot to add to the KYP email I sent out over the weekend, other than just to say we have had really fantastic meetings, interview process with our three police chief candidates, and that we met with Shane Levesque both yesterday, Joyce and I did, and then today with almost all of the department directors to go over the first draft of our personnel regs, and it was a great discussion with everybody there. It's interesting. I provided my remarks, my comments on my review of the draft to Shane on Sunday, and then we sat down, and Bruce and Carol and I'm sure a couple of others came up with things that from a completely different perspective that I hadn't even thought of. So it just is proof positive that it's so helpful to have many eyes coming at things from a variety of different directions. And so Shane's going back with lots of red notes and things, some research to do and some changes to make, and we will be coming back. I don't know that we've got a solid time frame. It'll be after the first of the year for sure, probably February or so, maybe before we're ready to bring something forward to the assembly. But we're certainly making good headway through the personnel regs, and that was supposed to be on the first agenda the day I walked through the door here at the borough, and I postponed that. And I know it's been a long time coming, but I think we're going to get to a really outstanding product in the end here. Some good changes. There are a number of reports under mine here. The Forest Service has a report this evening. Carol, specifically, I don't know if you want to speak. Does anybody have any questions over the hazard mitigation plan update that I gave, which was Carol called to get an update from the contractor, and they said, oh no, it's been approved. So great. I actually completely forgot to tell Esther that I needed to tell her as well.
They submitted it without you knowing
they
about
submitted
it. And it's
it
been
without...
approved already. We're way out in front of this. So, yeah.
Mr. Mayor.
Yeah. Oh, Patty.
But did they include all of our suggestions when we have that round table with the assembly? In other words,
so we've done like two or three submittals of changes, and it's the last round that I don't know what was included or not included, because like I said, I was waiting for a draft to come back, so I was shocked when they said it had been approved. So I have to go back and compare with all the last bit of notes that we had submitted, did they get in there or not, and I have not done that yet.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about disasters on the mainland, you know, outside,
right,
that would impact us. So I hope that made the cut.
We'll get you to give us a report back on
when
we got
FEMA
approved.
Approves it, we'll let you know.
Yeah.
So that was exciting. And after the Forest Service does their report, Shane is going to give just a small introduction also to the personnel regs, and then talk a little bit about social media policy, because I know that's something that's been kind of a hot topic of late. So, Mr. Mayor, if you want to call the folks here that are in the audience to speak under my report to do so, that's great.
Yvette, Forest Service, do you want to come up, Martin? I think you're the designated ranger right now.
Yeah, good evening. My name is Martin Hutton. I'm the acting district ranger this month, while Clint is either away or on leave. I have five updates for you. For the Central Tongass Large Landscape Analysis Project, we have no major updates at this time. The comment period closed on September 15th, and the interdisciplinary team is currently analyzing those comments for inclusion in the final impact statement, which is anticipated to be signed in the spring of 2020. On the roadless rule, we had a public meeting here on the 6th of November. We've received good attendance and some healthy input from the attendees. I think there was at least 40 members from the public there, and that there could have been a few more. For recreation, we have two major updates. We hosted our fall annual outfitter and guide meetings on the 5th of November. And those updates from those meetings were our expectations, basically. We reviewed those for 2021 and beyond. Also, we had updates on the 2020 ANAD administration, and also an after-action review on how the season went in 2019. And for the foreseeable future, the ANAD master plan is also a major priority for us. For the Resource Advisory Committee, the RAC, we had a scheduled meeting on the 6th of November that unfortunately coincided with the roadless meeting that led to the cancellation of the RAC meeting. We're anticipating that the next meeting will be scheduled sometime in late January, and the RAC committee wants everyone to know that that we're still looking for additional proposals.
Martin, can you just quickly let public know where they would submit the proposal to?
Yeah, the proposals should be developed in coordination with the Forest Service, so maybe reach out to the Forest Service first to make sure that you're in full understanding of what is expected under those proposals, and then we can coordinate the submittal
from
there.
Through the district ranger office?
Yeah, that can go, absolutely. Yep.
Thank you.
Yep. So like I said, the RAC committee is thinking that the next meeting will be rescheduled around late January. As a small update on the abandoned vehicle situation on Forest Service administered land, so that's Zarembo, foremostly at Roosevelt, but also at Anita Bay. Clint has visited Zarembo in late October, now has firsthand knowledge of the current situation. And the plan is to hold and schedule a meeting in late January with all the stakeholders to begin work on a strategy for cleanup of the current issue and to work forward on a long-term solution for prevention. My understanding is that topic six will be the MV Chugach that Harvey will take care of in a different time. Yeah?
Great, thank you. Is there any questions to Martin? Martin, I just want to say thank you very much for coming down tonight, and we really appreciate these updates. I think this is working out really well. Mm-hmm. But tell Clint that we want him to come sometime, okay?
Will do. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you very much, Martin.
Thank you.
Okay. Lisa's still on you.
Shane now.
Shane, sorry. Shane, come on up.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and members of the Assembly. I'm Shane Levesque. I'm with the Levesque Law Group. My brother and I are the Levesque Law Group, and we represent the City and Borough of Wrangell. We have the wonderful opportunity to do so, and when we interviewed to represent you, we promised you that we would, on our dime, fly here twice a year to visit and to get in touch with the community, and so this is our first opportunity to pay up on that debt, because a promise made is a debt unpaid, as they say. I have been working with Lisa and with Alicia and a number of people in putting together these proposed revisions to the personnel regulations. As you are probably aware, it's been some time since they were developed. I think that the first iteration was in 2013. A lot has happened in the law since that first happened. A lot has happened in this community. So we have been working together to try to bring all of the personal regulations up to date so that they comply with all the new requirements that have come out, and to also make them a cohesive document that better serves the borough, but also the employees. And I would welcome any questions that you have about the personal regulations and how they're developing, and whether you have any specific concerns at all as we move forward. Or
I would just add to one of the things that we are taking a very close look at is making sure that we do not have parity issues between the collective bargaining agreement and the personnel regs. And although there will obviously be changes, or may very well be changes to the collective bargaining agreement in the future as we go into negotiations, we still want to make sure that we have things as closely tied as possible.
Really important. Does anybody have any specific questions regarding policy? I think it's kind of tough to like to see what's going on there. Just off the top of my head, I can't think of anything, but we'll
lots
look at
red.
It when we get it.
Yeah.
Lots of red.
Well,
yeah.
The last thing I would add is one of the parts of these regulations, as Lisa mentioned earlier, is the development of a comprehensive social social media policy, because that has become an emerging area that public employers have had to deal with. We're trying to put something together that is very fair to both the employees and also protects the borough in instances where communications can be misunderstood and those sorts of things. So, we look forward to finishing those up and getting them before you.
And Shane, you're also going to be looking at assembly members, elected officials, board commissioners, that sort of thing, and that policy would also apply to those folks too, I'm assuming. Correct?
Well, the idea is, it certainly standards of conduct you know, are pretty general across the board. I'm not sure that we've settled on a place of whether these would purport to apply to assembly members, because, you know, you do have your own rules of decorum to follow. However, in many ways you police yourselves, but it certainly would apply to volunteers. You know.
Excellent.
We can specifically add or have a policy related to social media stuff for the elected bodies and the appointed bodies for the borough, if you would like to see that.
I think that many assemblies and councils have social media policies. I know the boards I sit on, I don't think we do. I could be wrong about that, but it might be worthwhile at least taking a look and seeing. I agree, we police ourselves, and if we think somebody's done something out of line, we speak with people directly, but it might be just in terms of preventing folks from finding themselves getting into trouble or hot water.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I think I misunderstood you earlier. It sounds like what you might be talking about is adopting some kind of rule of procedure or amendment to whatever, if you have bylaws or something to that effect, some kind of modification to that.
Yeah, especially for elected officials.
Sure.
In terms of how you represent the community through your social media site. I think it would be something to look at the very least, Patty.
Well, and we have city-issued computers, so we should be signing an agreement. I don't remember me signing any agreement to use city property. So I think that should be included for all the employees. And then, I don't know if my memory serves me right, but when I looked through the negotiated agreement, I was surprised to not see a provision whereby if a city employee, any city employee, was in an accident, automobile accident, or any kind of equipment accident, that there was no provision to look at their cell phone, to see if they were texting or doing something that they should not be doing. And I was wondering if that's maybe a federal law comes into play, and that we don't need that kind of, I don't know if there's immediate drug testing after an accident.
There's immediate alcohol testing.
But not drug. Is that correct? I think federal law, there's certain drugs that are automatically tested.
Oh, yeah, if you have a CDL, I'm sorry, you do have drug testing as well.
That's correct. I mean, there are regulations in place that if you have a CDL, there is automatic testing. And there are also automatic testing provisions that can be imposed if you don't have a CDL, depending upon whether you were performing borough business at the time you were driving, and so on.
Or
and so
even
forth.
Using a piece of equipment like a jackhammer or something. And
yeah, if there's some kind of accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just worried about our liability, mm-hmm. you know, in protecting the city and boroughs.
And I will mention that the part of the proposed revisions do include provisions that address that. But you know, I think that what you mentioned was the collective bargaining agreement, and that's not really, I mean, that's a separate, you know, negotiated agreement.
Correct.
So,
but I was surprised it wasn't in there. Hmm. So
Sorry, Patty, go ahead.
I wondered about the parity issue. You know, if non-union employees are subjected to one set of rules, and then, so anyway, it sounds like you're on the same thought that I'm on.
I think so. Okay. I mean, that's a big priority of ours, is trying to get them as close as possible.
Perfect. Drew, do you have something to add? Okay. Lisa?
The point I wanted to make is the personnel regs cover all of our employees,
right,
including the union employees. The only time where there is an issue is if there is something in the union contract that is different, that is specifically different than what is in the personnel regs, then the union contract takes precedence over that. That doesn't mean if there is a provision that is missing from the collective bargaining agreement, that what is in the personnel regs does not apply. So we have a provision in the personnel regs for testing after an accident, and that is required of all employees, union, non-union.
Okay.
But your point about a cell phone review to find out if someone was texting or not, I don't have any idea what law is for that.
Yeah, you know, and that's, I mean, I've never encountered, a situation where that has been in a personnel manual. Typically, when cell phones are reviewed because of an accident, it's done as a part of law enforcement purposes, you know. But I can certainly look into that and see, you know, the extent of the borough's authority to implement a policy.
Yeah, well, after every train accident, you know, that's the first thing they do in, or any, 18-wheeler truck accident.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was just surprised. And then the other thing I thought about, and it
it
relates back to our workshop, is that if we have a temporary employee, say a person mowing our yard in the summertime of city property, does that preclude that person from being on a contractor list? That's something that we may want to think about also.
Well, you've had a very prescient moment, because that's been a very hot topic of discussion. So that is something we're looking very closely into, defining a clear policy.
Right. And then what constitutes conflict of interest?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you, Patty. Yeah, anybody else? Any other questions for Shane?
Oh, good.
Before we cut him loose? Appreciate you coming.
He's staying all night.
Oh, I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. Good. Stick around, Shane.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Lisa, wrap it up.
I have nothing further, Mr. Mayor. I promise I will try to have no do-overs.
Well, I have one question for you. A while back, we had a water main issue off of the hill where we had a secondary line that came down to the old treatment plant that had busted open and was leaking profusely. What happened with that? We heard no further update on that. Roland, do you want to come up and give us an update on that, please?
Excuse me, Ms. Mayor, was that the one that they had to shut off? There's only one valve.
Rolling out Public Works. Yeah, a couple weeks ago we had a main break behind the new storage facility by Panhandle. Apparently the old water main that came down to the old chlorine shack is still charged. Nobody knew. We don't know how long it's been leaking. Figured about 50, between 50 and 75 gallons a minute. So we got it partially stopped. It's right on where the bell comes up on the pipe, so we can't actually get a normal patch on it. They make a special patch, but you gotta get the measurements. It's a custom-made patch. We just got a quote back from one guy to come in and cut in a valve live, and it's pretty spindy, but I think that's our best bet, rather than just patching an old main we don't use. apparently, when the new line came down the road to the water plant, they, instead of putting a valve, they went beyond both lines and put a valve. So the only way to turn the leak off is to shut the whole town off. There's no other valve there. So that's why we want to cut in a valve hot. And it's something, none of our, we don't have the tooling to do it, so.
What's pretty expensive?
1 week notice, $17,000, 2 weeks notice, $14,000. Without the excavation.
70 or 17?
17, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
And, yeah. And we're losing how much?
Very little right now. It's just a trickle right now.
Oh,
yeah.
Why is it just a trickle?
We put a makeshift patch on it.
We can't
actually patch it with a normal patch because of the location. When you put a pipe in a pipe, there's a bell, and it's kind of shaped like this, and the break is right on the edge, so you can't get a patch on it.
Duct tape got hold of it.
We tried duct tape. Actually, Jeff Rooney came up with a patch. We took a patch and put a valve on the patch with a hose. So Jeff Rooney came up with this. So we put the patch on the pipe, slid it around where the hole was, let the pressure go out the valve, and then tightened it down and then slowly closed the valve. So it worked really slick, but it's not. It's a Band-Aid.
Drew? Theoretically speaking, how long would the town have to be shut off to fix the problem?
We talked about this a lot in the last 2 weeks, and theoretically speaking, several hours. However, we've lost, since I've come in last November, we've lost two valves operating them. So we're really nervous about opening and closing these old valves. And this one was kind of sticky when we opened it back up. So we lose a valve. You're adding hours and hours and hours. And we lose a valve beyond that, you're talking no hydrants, no water anywhere. It cuts it off at the top of the hill at the water plant. Zero water going to town.
Which is why when you look at these things, you don't look at what you think it's going to take. You look at what the absolute worst possible case scenario could be, and you plan for all of that before you make a decision to cut the water off.
Right. Thank you, Roland. Appreciate the update on that, and I'm glad it's not $70,000. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yet. Is there any other questions for Lisa? Borough Clerk's report, Alicia.
So Kim was able to provide her report in the packet, and she didn't have anything additional to add today.
Okay, thank you. Any questions for Alicia? Okay, moving on. Number 9, Mayor and Assembly Business.
Mayor, I attended the search advisory committee meeting, and I'm happy to report that their CNA training, Certified Nurse Assistant training, they graduated 6 students, and they plan to start another training soon. So if anyone in the listening audience is interested, contact the hospital. They secured additional parking with the Church of God parking lot adjacent to the hospital. That's a good thing. Mm-hmm. You now have direct access to physical therapy. You do not have to have a provider referral necessary. So if your back is aching, give the hospital a call. They made a profit first quarter. Electronic medical record, Cerna, is going to go online probably at the beginning of the next year. And they encourage you to watch the progress of the construction of our new hospital.
Fantastic. To add a side note to your CNA comment, the next CNA program is to include the high school, and we're looking to enroll students in the next month or so.
Yes.
I went to that graduation, and I'd just like to say that Drew spoke at the graduation, and it was absolutely fantastic. He did a fantastic job, and they just did a wonderful ceremony for the gals that had graduated. It was really that big certificates mounted for them and gave them all flowers, and it was really well done. Yeah.
The only thing I have is the Nolan Center opened the exhibit on the local shipwrecks on Friday night. I think there were probably about 200 people there. The room was full. The exhibit is fantastic. If you haven't had a chance to go see it, please do. It will take some while for you to go through it because there's a lot of reading. There are interactive videos, artifacts. It's very well done. It will be here through the end of the year. So the museum staff did an awesome job on the storyboards and everything. It's really nice.
Okay, and I'd like to tease out an item from the borough manager's report, item F, on accounts receivable report. Yep. And I've talked to our finance director. I would like to see us develop a policy, a robust policy or ordinance, even better, for debt collection. Currently, we have an outstanding debt. General debt owed to the city is over $462,000. Mm-hmm. And then in debt owed due to property taxes is $104,000 plus. So that's well over $500,000 hanging out there that the city needs to recoup. And many of the debts are 90 days and older. Who knows how old they are? And we just need to collect better identifying information when someone applies for utilities. And we need to cut off at 30 days or probably 60 days and start a robust collection process. I'm just really concerned that if we don't act sooner rather than later, you know, the sooner we act, the more we can hopefully collect and then recoup collection fees. We've never done that, to my knowledge. And when we do turn things over to collection agency, I never did find out what percentage we got returned to us.
So it's normally 50%.
It is 50%. I didn't think it was that high. But so I think Joyce is on board with the assembly approval. If we could tackle that maybe the first part of the year, next year.
You were talking about after 30 days or 60 days cutting them off. Are you talking about utilities?
Well, I know that there's a mechanism for obviously electric utilities, but I think we need to get serious about this. And I personally don't think anyone should do business with the city who owes a debt to the city. And that's one thing I asked our attorney about, you know, in terms of the contractor workshop that we talked about.
Oh, yeah, I understand what you're saying there. I don't think it's legal to shut off someone's power in the winter.
Or water.
Or water in the winter, is it?
During certain months, you can.
During certain months, I don't think you can shut off people's utilities.
And I think that's reflected in our code.
Oh, okay. She is talking about our harbor.
Oh, harbor. Okay, yes, yes.
So hold on. I'm going to ask people to be recognized through the chair, please. It can't be just that right now we're on assembly discussion and we're not going to just throw it open to the general floor here. So I think we're pretty clear on what we and we'll have that revisited in early January. Is there any follow-up on that, Patty? You good?
Yes, I'm good.
Okay, excellent. And then...